name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you come here to play Jesus to the lepers in your head? Some of you might recognize that if you're Johnny Cash fans. It's a song that was not written by him, but was covered by him not long before his death. I heard it a couple days ago. Normally, I wouldn't hear such a song because I would be just praying the Jesus prayer on the way home from prison. So I think I have a responsibility to myself and to you to be a better person. So I pray. But it's been a tough week, prison ministry-wise. Some people are falling out. Somebody very dear to me got transferred. Stuff like that happens sometimes. So there's sometimes bad days. How do we deal with bad days? Well, some of us deal well with them, and some of us deal not so well. Or maybe most of us kind of, sometimes we're okay with a bad day. We do the right thing, and sometimes we don't do the right thing. And so I turn on the radio in the middle of nowhere and end up hearing this. It's really a beautiful song. It's called One, and it was written by somebody that I don't know, but it was recorded by Johnny Cash late in his life. Really a plaintive song. I sometimes wonder, why do we like to hear songs about dysfunction? Because the song's about dysfunction. It's about basically a breakup or a dysfunctional relationship between a man and a woman. It's very beautiful. But why do we like to listen to that stuff? I think it's because that's what's going on in our lives. I don't mean breaking up with our loved one, but just that churn that's happening in us. All that stuff, all that lack of peace. So it's something familiar to us. And so I think that's part of the reason why we like sad love songs and things like that. Because our life is full of passion and problems and lepers. Near the end of the song, he asks his estranged lover, "Have you come to play Jesus with the lepers in your head?" It's a very provocative statement. Some would think that that's blasphemous. But we're speaking metaphorically now. Now, I have this thing that I do. Some of you, probably most of you don't do it. Hardly anybody does really what I do. I'm a little bit different. Some people would call that special. Some people would say that, bless his heart. If you know, if you're from the South, you know what that means. But I've always seen spiritual things in secular things. So this song, which is a secular song about two people having a relationship problem, has this verse, "Have you come to play Jesus with the lepers in your head?" And I got to thinking about that. Turned off the radio, and I got to thinking, that's exactly what I do, and that's exactly what's happening to some of the guys that are falling out in prison. And that's exactly what you do too. What I mean by this is, when you play Jesus in this context, you do everything except seek Jesus. Only Jesus can heal. The parable of the Good Samaritan makes that perfectly clear. The priest and the Levite, they couldn't do anything. They couldn't do anything whatsoever. So they passed by on the other side. They couldn't help the dying man. Only Jesus Christ can help us with everything, with anything. And there's lepers in our head. Well, what are lepers? Lepers are unclean and they're diseased. So we have unclean, diseased things in our head. Let's not be afraid to say that. If you don't say it, if you don't believe it, then how are you going to fix it? We got things like we think the wrong thing. We get jealous about things. We get angry about things. We get lustful about things. We're lazy. We can't seem to get ourselves in good habits. Perhaps we have feelings sometimes we just don't like, and we won't get rid of the feelings in some way. There's all kinds of ways to get rid of bad feelings. Lots of ways, but very few good ways to get rid of good feelings or bad feelings. So I was thinking about that. Most of my problem in my life is because I'm playing Jesus with the lepers in my head. I'm doing something other than prayer, fasting, seeking, loving my neighbor, struggling against my passions, reading a book, reading the Psalter. I'm doing something else. And that might not be that I'm actually doing something in exchange for that, like watching television or something, but that my focus is not on the source of my healing. And if you look in your life when you have problems, I'll bet you it's that way for you too. And the reason why I bet you that is because I'm a human, you're a human, I've talked to a lot of humans in my day. And not only that, but a lot of humans in very difficult circumstances. And I see again and again and again, we are applying the wrong solution to our problems. The only solution is Jesus. The only solution is struggle to follow the commandments as best we can. Doesn't matter if you do a good job or not. It matters if you try. That's why I keep telling you all the time, ad infinitum, read the scriptures and pray for others, pray for your enemies. It's the only solution. There is none, no other solution. Nothing else works. We have this epidemic of mental illness, which is probably usually spiritual illness, or at least associated with it many, many times. And people look for counseling, or they look for medication, or they even look for whatever, yoga or something else, when actually they should be looking for what is causing them to have their problems. Or really, they don't even have to know that. Who can solve the problems? Only Jesus. Only the Holy Spirit in our hearts. So we have to do everything we can to prepare ourselves. God wants to give His light to us right now. His light is shining right now. Most of us don't see it. Maybe the babies do. His light doesn't change. When He went up on Mount Tabor, which we celebrated just last week, exactly a week ago, He didn't change. He just changed the apostles' perception of Him. What was there already became apparent to them. So the light of God is here. The grace of God is present. God will fill us completely. I told somebody yesterday my favorite scripture verse, my favorite psalm verse. A man shall draw nigh and the heart is deep. Do you know what that means? It's very beautiful. We're very little, aren't we? We're not very big at all. Even a tall person is small compared to the world, and certainly compared to God who made the world. And yet our heart is deep. Our heart is deep enough to contain God. He made our heart deep enough for that. And yet our heart has all other stuff in it. It has lepers in it. And the lepers don't leave room for God. So we got to kick the lepers out by struggling to reach our potential. Doesn't matter if you're good or bad. Doesn't matter if you got habits or bad habits or not. What matters is how much do you want to really be cured from the lepers that are in your head? How much do you think you're broken? My experience is many broken people don't know that they're broken. I'll give you a newsflash. Every single person in this room is broken. Every single person in this room has lepers in their head, has things that just don't go away easily, and that cause all kinds of problems for you. If we admit that, then we can start solving it. Now, I've told you also many, many times before, if you read our prayers, if you really read them, if you really care about them, not just rattle them off, and maybe not just read morning prayers, but read the canons, read the Menahan services. Our prayers are full of this idea that there are lepers in our head, and there's only one way to get rid of those lepers, by seeking God. It's everywhere. We constantly are admitting to God that we are sinful, or even we call ourselves worthless, which is hyperbolic, because we're not worthless. God made us to be very worthy. He made us to be like Him. So we're not worthless, but we say these things saying that we are, without Him, we can't do anything. And if we really believe that, then we can do everything. Nobody can put us back together. Nobody can help us. Only Jesus. So I would ask you, how much do you seek Jesus? How much do you pray? I tell you all the time about the Jesus Prayer. Do you pray the Jesus Prayer every day? If not, why not? It makes no sense to not try to get in that habit. You won't be good at it at first. Well, did you ride a bicycle perfectly the first time? I'll bet you your dad was holding on to the back of it, right? And the first time he let go, I'll bet you fell. But eventually you learn how to ride a bicycle. It's the same thing with the Jesus Prayer. Get your chotki, get your prayer rope, kombaskini. In prison they call them Greek prayer beads. Don't call them a prayer rope, because then they think it's used for strangling somebody. Literally, somebody wouldn't let me bring it in when I called it a prayer rope. But when I called it Greek prayer beads, he let me bring it in. Get your Greek prayer beads and pray the Jesus Prayer. And it'll be hard at first, and it won't really resonate with you. But if you continue with it, knowing that our tradition says that this is something that works, then what you're doing is you're not playing Jesus, you're praying to Jesus. You're not finding some distraction for your passions or some way of indulging your passions, but you're struggling against them as best you can. I recommend highly to you that you start praying the Jesus Prayer, especially including those that irk you, those that have hurt you, those that you even might call your enemies, and also the Psalter. Many of you don't read the Psalter because the Psalter's hard. It's confusing, but it's beautiful. It talks about the human experience, and it talks about the solution to the human experience. What good is it to know the problem if you don't know the solution? That doesn't do any good. We have to know the solution. So like this secular song, it presents the problem, but it doesn't tell the solution. I'm telling you the solution. Seek God with all of your heart. Find ways to change your behavior, to change your routine. Give alms. If you're not giving alms now, if you're giving a tiny bit of alms, increase the alms. If you're praying a little bit, increase that prayer. If you never pray the Jesus Prayer, start doing it. If you never read the gospel, start reading it. Start seeking for that which is above instead of just being in the things that are below, the things that are temporary, and the things that are full of lepers. The world is full of lepers. We have to struggle to be away from those lepers, and especially the ones that are in our own head. The beginning of the song goes like this. Is it getting better or do you feel the same? Will it make it easier for you now? You've got someone to blame. Now, in the context of a relationship problem, that makes perfect sense. But what about in the context of us not doing the right thing spiritually? I think it makes a lot of sense. Sometimes we get better only from doing things that really are counterproductive. Eating too much food, watching too much TV, drinking too much, gossiping, making errors so that we seem to be better than other people because we have this feeling of inferiority, whatever it is, indulging our sins, we feel a little bit better for a little while, right? And a lot of times we blame our environment or someone else or some circumstance for our problems. I just recently saw something where somebody said that so-and-so was causing them to sin because of their terrible political views. No, that person wasn't causing the sin. If you're mad about somebody because of their politics, it's your problem, not theirs. You're the one sinning. It's not their fault that you sin, that you judge. Now, their politics may or may not be wacko, but that doesn't matter. What matters is, as Christians, we're responsible for what we do. We can't blame anything else on our sin. And if we do that, if we say, I'm responsible, and like I said, if you read our prayers, it's there everywhere, then you'll be praying to Jesus and not playing Jesus. I'll tell you one other thing. This whole past almost 2 weeks now, during the fast for the Dormition, it's our custom to say the Paraklesis canon. We sing it according to the Greek meter. It's very beautiful. And we pray it every day, and every single one of you just about is commemorated at that service. Long list of people, probably a couple hundred names at least, are commemorated at that service every single evening now. We've done it. And when I pray that canon, there's lots of places in that canon that say, I'm no good, I can't do anything, help me. And sometimes when I pray that canon, I feel within me this sort of resistance to feeling that way. I don't like to feel small. Do you guys like to feel small? Do you like to feel insignificant? Do you like to feel powerless? Not many people do. But the power in Christianity is when you feel powerless. Because that's genuine humility. It's not contrived or anything. When you feel, I can't do it without God, and I'm making a mess of it, then God has something to work within you. He has fertile soil that's been prepared for the rain, the grace of God, the Holy Spirit, to come and soak in. So I'd recommend to you, we'll sing the Proclus at least, I hope to do it this afternoon. Didn't get it done last Sunday. I was very disappointed. Everything came around, and I was the last person here, and I was just too tired, so I didn't do it. But every single other day, we've done it. And we'll certainly do it. Tomorrow is vigil for the Dormition. And before the vigil starts, I will sing the Proclus another time. Try it. Try it at home. When you sing things like this that say over and over, I can't do it without you, you start to believe it. And I'll tell you another thing. The Jesus Prayer is like that, except times a billion. When I pray the Jesus Prayer, many times I feel very, very small. And I feel very inadequate. I don't like that feeling. Now, it's true. I don't know why I don't like true things. It's true, I am inadequate. But feeling that feeling, there was this tug of war, kind of. You know how in the I hate to mix metaphors here, but you know, like in cartoons, you know, when somebody's trying to make a decision and it shows the good angel on one side and the bad angel on another, whispering in their ear. It's like there's this fight going on in me to not feel that way. But I know that that feeling is the only thing that is true about myself. You're going to have to get over that hump when you pray the Jesus Prayer. You're going to have to recognize, I'm not a good person. I'm not all that. And that what people think about me is really not true. Because I'm really not a good person. But God loves me. God will help me. If you come to that kind of realization, even a little bit, then it's amazing what God can do with your heart. Then you're no longer playing Jesus, you're praying to him. God help you to find humility and to seek God with all of your heart for everything so that you're healed. God bless you. Amen.